Okay, I'm going to start by, I'm going to ask you this question. Mehran and Miriam, question for you. What would happen to you if you were in your country and you publicly criticized the leader of your country? How would that play out?
We will arrest and sent to the jail.
You would be arrested and sent to jail. Okay. Criticizing government leaders is a pretty old practice. It's been around a long, long time. And persecution for doing it is just as old. In the Old Testament, the prophets did this actually quite a bit. They were very openly criticizing the kings all the time. And when they did, they often suffered for it. When you get to heaven, you can ask Jeremiah about this. Jeremiah was arrested and thrown in prison multiple times, left in a well to die, and he was ultimately rescued, all for saying things that the king or the leaders did not like. That's part of being a prophet. And you say, okay, what's this have to do with Advent? That doesn't seem to be very Advent-y, you know. Well, just hold on. We're going to get there. You'll see how this fits in. I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm going to start by reading the first four verses. Jeremiah says this, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord." Okay, so Jeremiah, I'm just going to give you the setting. He is prophesying here during the reign of Zedekiah, who was king of Israel. And the time frame would have been 597 to 586 BC. That's Zedekiah's reign. It's about an 11-year reign in those years. And so he's prophesying at that time. Zedekiah was a Jewish king who reigned in Jerusalem. But he was a puppet king. The real king was Nebuchadnezzar. And Zedekiah had to stay in line or else. In fact, 586, when Zedekiah fell, the problem was or else. He did not stay in line with Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar came and said, "Buddy, you're staying in line. The or else has come." And so that's why Zedekiah fell. So he was a puppet king. He was a wicked king. He thought only for himself. He cared nothing for the people. And here's what here's what Jeremiah is saying now in verses 1 and 2. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Now this picture of shepherds and sheep, because that's the picture here, it's a very common picture in Scripture for leaders and people. Shepherds are leaders. Sheep are the people that the shepherds are supposed to be shepherding. And these shepherds that Jeremiah is talking to are the leaders in Zedekiah's government. This is the administration, if you want to put it that way, at the time. And here's what he says to these leaders. Woe to you. You scatter God's people. You drive them away. You do not attend to them. You are evil. Why are they evil? Because they are supposed to care for God's people, but they don't. They care only for themselves. In verses 3 and 4, Jeremiah then says that God will gather his people back and care for them. And he will put over them new shepherds who will actually take care of them. Okay, so let me ask you this question. This is the message Jeremiah has for Zedekiah and his administration. How do you think Zedekiah took this message? I mean, I asked you earlier, you know, what if you had said to the leader of your country, woe to you, you are supposed to care for the people and you do not care for the people. You are evil instead. And God is going to deal with you. It wouldn't go real well for you, would it? Okay, Jeremiah just did that. I just said to you, what if you did that? And I'm here saying that is exactly what Jeremiah just did. He just did that to the leader of his country. But he doesn't stop there. Jeremiah doesn't stop there in verse 4. He's going to go on. But we're going to go on. But before we do that, I want to say this a little bit. According to Jeremiah, in this text, what is the purpose of a king?
To tend to the people.
To tend to the people. The king is supposed to care for the people. I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, here in America, Americans like to sort of pride themselves on the idea that the government exists for the good of the people. And we consider that an American idea.
Romans 13.
The government is to serve the people, not the people are to serve the government. Now, you think around the world, most places, the way it works is the people are supposed to serve the government, not the government is supposed to serve the people. And America likes to pride itself on the idea that we got this right, sort of thing, you know. But the idea is a lot older than America. America did not invent this idea. It's a biblical idea. You find it right here in 6th century BC, Jeremiah. You see Jeremiah criticizing the king for not being a good king. You find it in many of the royal psalms that talk about, you know, may the king rescue the oppressed. May the king maintain justice in the land. Things like this that are in these kind. This is how the royal psalms often talk. And it's the same idea. It's the king is there for the people. Not the people are there for the king. And so, when you go into the Old Testament, you find that the king exists for the people. His whole purpose and the whole point of being a king is to serve the people. It's an Old Testament idea. It's a biblical idea. The one with power must serve those who don't have power. At least we're talking political power, that earthly power here. It's a biblical idea. And I suppose, you know, America likes to pride itself on this, but on one level, it makes sense that a nation that was at least familiar with the Bible, even if we Americans didn't always follow it, which we didn't, but we were familiar with it. And that a nation that was familiar with this concept should be the nation that champions this purpose for a government. And I'm trying to be careful here. I'm not saying that, let's say, Muslim rulers never, ever have cared for their people. I'm not trying to say that. Nor am I trying to say that American rulers have always cared for their people well. I'm not saying that either. Don't hear any of that stuff. All I'm saying is that this biblical idea is something that America built into its entire philosophy of government. Not that we do it well, but it's built into our the way we think about government. It came from the Bible. And America has done that to an extent that no one else did that before. In terms of it's built into the fabric of our philosophy of governing. Okay, now I've been talking about government, but this is Advent. And I want to tie Advent to government because Jeremiah is going to do it. And I actually want to do it the way Jeremiah does it because he's going to do that here. Verses 5 and 6. Let's just continue. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Now, these verses are talking about the future. Look at verse 5. The days are coming. That's future. So, Jeremiah in verses 1 through 4 has been talking about the present. But now he's talking about a future time in verses 5 and 6. And the future is a contrast to the present. The current king and his administration are evil. But behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous king. This is Messiah. This is the Jesus we celebrate at Christmas. You see what Jeremiah is doing. You know, he gives this prophecy of Jesus, but it's not a prophecy of Jesus just floating in the air, midair. It's within the context of something else that's going on in Jeremiah's day. And he's trying to encourage the people with something that's coming in the future. And you say, well, how can it be encouraging to them if it's not going to come for another 700 years or 600 years in Jeremiah's day? Does the second coming encourage you? Well, how can the second coming encourage you when, you know, it's been 2,000 years already and you don't know how long it's going to be? And yet, okay, it's the same thing. It can encourage the people in his day. They don't know that it's going to be another 600 years before he comes. And you don't know that it's going to be whatever it's going to be before Christ comes. He could come tomorrow for all you know. And so it's that idea. That's what's going on here. There's this evil that's going on in Jeremiah's day, and he's calling it out. But there's this also hope that's coming in the future. And he's contrasting those things. Here's what Jeremiah says about this Messiah. So look at the verses. Verse 5. He is a branch, a righteous branch, from the line of David. In the Old Testament, this phrase, a branch, is often used of Messiah. It's not just here that we see this phrase used of Messiah. Isaiah uses it as well. And Messiah is from the line of David. It's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the city of Bethlehem was David's hometown. It was the city of David. It's why the angel says, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It's why the angel says to Mary, "The Lord God will give to him being the seed, the child in her womb, the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David." You know, we read that earlier in Isaiah 9. "And of the increase of his government there shall be no end, and he shall reign on the throne of his father David." This is all part of the prophecy. Jesus will be from the line of David. Jesus will be king. He will be righteous. You know, look at verses 5 and 6 again. It says he will rule wisely and with justice, and he will save Judah, and he will make Israel secure. And you see this righteousness in there again and again and again. Now, here's the thing of it. In Jeremiah's day, King Zedekiah was of the line of David. He was a Davidic king. And he was the last king to sit on the throne of the line of David.
Was he?
He was. Because Nebuchadnezzar came and then conquered the whole land. And after that, you had people of the line of David, but they weren't kings, like Zerubbabel. But Zerubbabel was not a king. And
when Herod came in, that was a new set of kings.
Well, Herod wasn't of the line of David.
Well, I know he wasn't. He wasn't even Jewish.
And Herod was a puppet king that was set up by the Romans.
Okay.
He was also a puppet king, but he was set up by the Romans. Jeremiah was the prophet who told Zedekiah that Jerusalem will fall and that the people are going to go into exile to Babylon. Jeremiah's been prophesying this kind of stuff. He's saying, "Zedekiah, you're going down, and Judah's going down, and the people are going into exile, and you know what, Zedekiah? So are you." So he's prophesying this to Zedekiah. Well, this is the Davidic king. Jeremiah is saying the Davidic king, the line of the Davidic king, is going to go into exile. You're going to be a slave, Zedekiah. Now here he's saying, the days are coming. There are future days when the Davidic king is going to return. And he's going to reign in righteousness. This is called faith. Faith sees in the future what you do not see now. Now you see a wicked king who destroys the people for himself. But behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when Messiah will reign. And that's going to be different. Now, you know, you see a broken Iran with a government that oppresses the people. But behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when Messiah will reign, and he will reign over Iran. That's not, people aren't going to have a choice. He will reign there. And when he does, he will reign with righteousness and with justice. It's what this passage is saying. Now, you see an Indonesian government that's built on corruption and bribery, right? Am I describing your government? But behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when Messiah will reign. And he will reign over Indonesia. And there's hope. There will be no more bribes. There will be no more corruption. There will be no king who steals money from the public funds for his own use. Messiah is righteous. He cares for the people. He serves the people. In fact, so he serves the people so much so that he's already died for the people. This is how he serves the people and how he's committed to serving the people. Now, Dede, you see a broken Burma where bloodshed and injustice are the norm. But behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when there will be a righteous king, a Messiah who will reign. And he will reign over Burma, and bloodshed will be replaced with righteousness. Now you see a broken America, where, you know, we oppress and kill about 1 million children a year and call it a choice. But behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when Messiah will reign, and he will reign over America. And there will be righteousness and there will be justice in the land. And the name of this Messiah will be called, "The Lord is our righteousness." It's how Jeremiah puts it in verse 6. That name is a wordplay on Zedekiah. Zedekiah is a Hebrew name that means "my righteousness is the Lord," or "the Lord is my righteousness." That's what the name means. Messiah is going to be called "the Lord is our righteousness." So what Jeremiah is doing. And what Jeremiah is doing here is really, he intentionally picked that. I should say the Holy Spirit through him directed him to pick that name. Zedekiah the king does not live up to his name. But one day, the days are coming, says the Lord, when Messiah reigns, we're going to have a real Zedekiah. That's the idea. The play on words is a slap in the face to Zedekiah. I mean, this isn't, he's really, it's almost like he's being rude, in a sense, with the play on words.
Jeremiah,
yes, to Zedekiah. It's a really strong criticism of Zedekiah. But it's an encouragement to the people of God, because they see right now a king who is named "The Lord is my righteousness," and they look at how he lives and they say, "This is a sham." But one day, we're going to have a real Zedekiah. Messiah will come. Messiah will reign. Messiah will bring righteousness and justice. to this broken, sinful, evil world. That's the prophecy. This is our future in Jesus. You know, this is a prophecy of a king. I want you to think of songs we sing at Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. This is Christ the Lord, who angels...
This is Christ the King.
I needed my wife to correct me on the lyrics. This is Christ the King. That's right. There's O come. Where's it in O come all ye faithful? It's in there.
O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Christ the Lord. That's not what I was thinking. O come all ye faithful, joyful. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. It's in there. And basically, when we sing, we're singing about a king. And we're singing about a king who, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations. That's Burma and Iran and Indonesia and America and the nations, guys. It's not just Israel. This king that we sing about at Christmas is a king for all the nations. You look around at the world today and you see sin and you see oppression and you see greed, you see fighting, you see this stuff. But in the end, the Prince of Peace shall reign. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. That's Isaiah 9. In Jesus, in the end, we have a righteous king, a just government, and we shall be saved and dwell securely. That's the picture Jeremiah gives. And we will rejoice. We will rejoice. See, in Jeremiah, what makes Messiah so good is partly how bad it is then. It's the bad news of Zedekiah and his government that makes the good news of Messiah so much better. When the righteous live in the midst of sin, they long for righteousness. You should be longing for righteousness. And when righteousness comes, it's so much more of a joyful thing because we have experienced evil and oppression. And so the evil world we live in cries out to be made right. And when Jesus, Messiah, comes and reigns, it's as if earth is fulfilled. All of the stuff that earth is crying out for is going to come eventually. It's just not here yet. And we rejoice more greatly than if we had never gone through the evil at all. And so evil now will one day make our joy greater later. Who rejoices the most at normal health? The person who has always been healthy, or the person who was sick and has been healed? Who has greater joy? He who has been forgiven much loves much. He who has been forgiven little loves little, is what Jesus said. He's applying it in a different area, but it's the same concept. when you go through bad things, man, you really rejoice when good things happen. When you've known sickness, you have a greater appreciation for health. When you know suffering, you have a greater appreciation for wholeness. When you know injustice, when you've seen it and experienced injustice, you have a greater hunger and a greater passion for justice. When Jesus comes, he's going to fulfill our desires for wholeness and for righteousness and for peace and for justice and for all these things that we want to see that we don't see now. And so Advent is a season in which you look forward to the coming Christ. You know, that baby, Jesus, that we celebrate is the King who will reign in righteousness and who will take this broken, sinful world and make it righteous. That's who he is. And we need to look forward to that day. You know how in the Christmas season we sort of look forward to the coming of the birth of Christ. But the coming of the birth of Christ is just the coming of the King who's going to make that day in the future that day in the future. And we need to look forward to that day in the future just like in the season we look forward to December 25th. You know, we need to see, and I think we do see, that the world all around us is evil and depressive. But we also need to see that it's temporary. You know, we're not, as Christians, we don't close our eyes to the reality of this world. But we have a hope, not because we're blind to what's going on. We have a hope because we know what's coming. And we know who's bringing it. And the world that Jesus is going to reign over is not temporary. It's eternal. And so come, Lord Jesus, take us there. Take us to that world. We long for your kingship. Not just in our hearts. We want that, obviously, but we long for it over this entire world. And it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with a song. And we're going to sing Christmas song, Joy to the World, which is going to talk about this King and who rules the world with truth and grace. And really what Jeremiah is talking about, this song really does capture. And so I want you to sing it with joy because that's our future.